שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי...
Hello, we are reading in Kabbalah for the Students in the Introduction to Talmud Esr Sfirot. Page 347, on item 84. Questions can be sent to Kabbalah for the Kab.tv and questions that are suitable to the question, to the lesson will be asked during the lesson. We're page 347, Kabbalah for the Student. Oh, we're going to start on with 83, page 4, 336. The first degree of revelation of the face is the attainment of the providence of reward and punishment in utter clarity. This comes to a person only through his salvation when one is awarded the opening of eyes in the Holy Torah in wonderful attainment, and becomes a flowing spring in any mitzvah in the Holy Torah that one has already kept of his own choice. One is granted seeing the reward of the mitzvah in it, intended for him in the next world, as well as the great loss in the transgression. 84. And although the reward is not yet in his hand, since the reward of a mitzvah is not in this world, the clear attainment is quite sufficient for him from now on to feel the great pleasure while performing each mitzvah. This is so because all that is about to be collected is deemed collected. For example, take a merchant who made a deal and gained a large sum. Even though the profit will come to him after a long time, but if he is certain beyond any shadow of a doubt that the profit will come to him in time, he is as happy as if the money has come to him immediately.
Meaning, this is how a man who is in the attainment of the providence of punishment and reward, even though it's not in his hand yet, however, he can use it. Meaning, in the first degree of the revelation of providence.
Item 85. Naturally, such providence testifies that from now on he will cleave to Torah and mitzvot with his heart and soul and might, and that he will retire from the sins as is escaping from a fire. And although,
meaning, according to that, he feels that he has reached the first stage of the providence of punishment and reward, because it obligates his will to receive. We're talking about laws here. If it's revealed to a person in such a way that there is providence of punishment and reward, even though in practice it's not in him yet, it is enough for his will to receive, and it is already, and he is already above it and doing what is necessary.
And although he is not yet a complete righteous, since he has not acquired repentance from love, his great adhesion in the Torah and good deeds help him slowly be granted repentance from love. Meaning the second degree of the revelation of the face.
Meaning that it's not because there is reward and punishment, responses for his actions, certain responses from above, but even though there wouldn't be any such responses, he only wants to bring contentment to the Creator. The correction was done already above the will to receive.
Then one can keep all 613 mitzvot in full, and he becomes a complete righteous.
Any questions? Well, that's higher than us. That's quite good. It's good that we don't start philosophizing in things that we don't really feel. Again, we remember one thing, that existence from existence is the light, and existence from absence is the will to receive, the will to bestow, against the will to receive, and the entire game that is between us. Sorry. Then it turns out that the laws are the laws of that relationship between them. If the light doesn't shine in the will to receive, then the will to receive is under its own dominion. It wants to enjoy. The more the light shines, the will to receive simply grabs the pleasure. The light can illuminate in a way that awakens the will to receive, or it can shine in a way that it awakens the point in the heart, which is a point within the will to receive, meaning the beginning of the will to bestow. And then the will to receive starts becoming divided into two, and then it starts performing calculations within it. Within the will to receive, there is as if the representative of the Creator, which is the point in the heart, and the created being, which is the will to receive himself, and then they have this argument going on between them. Who is more important? And then accordingly, when a man begins to have this choice to some extent, then he chooses through the group, through the study, which light does he want? The light of the fulfillment of the pleasure, or a light that corrects him and advances him in spite of the pleasure, above the pleasure, towards the Creator, meaning to amplify that point within him? What is he going to develop? The ego and the will to receive within him? Or the spiritual point within him, where he feels the spiritual world, the Creator, and so on? And then, accordingly, in these relationships, proportions between them, there is the matter of the stairs, the degrees. What does a man cling to more, either the will to receive or to the will to bestow, that he develops within himself, which is called the image of the Creator, that he grows within himself. Then he prays for a certain force that is as if external, as if alien, that would come and amplify within him the will to bestow, that point, until he is able, in spite of the will to receive, to care for and engage in the will to bestow more and more. And then, in those relationships between them, we discover the degrees of their development. There's internal Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei of ours, that two are in concealment and two are in revelation. The two in concealment are when one is still clinging to that half of the will to receive, and the two in revelation are when he already clings to the half of the will to bestow. And here this speaks already on the stage where providence is revealed, but not in practice, only in potential. But it already helps the person to work above the will to receive. Don't think that working above the will to receive is easier than within the will to receive. The degrees are such that the exertion in them only increases the need for the exertion. And later on, the degree of love, where he rises above the will to receive with the revelation of the light, meaning he receives such a force that he can truly work with his entire will to receive for bestowal, which is a very hard degree, a very great degree. We don't know what it's like in the end of correction, when there is as if nothing to work on, but work on each and every detail in our will to receive, that you have to invert it, to bestow towards others, that you truly discover, like the students of Rabbi Shimon, a great hatred, and each time you must overcome such differences, such gaps between the will to receive and the will to bestow. This is a huge force. So we always come to work that is more and more, I don't quite know how to say it, intensive, powerful. Well, let's continue.
Item 86. Now we thoroughly understand what we asked concerning the oath, that the soul is sworn before it comes to this world. Even if the whole world says you are righteous, be wicked in your own eyes. We asked, since the whole world agrees that he is righteous, why must he still consider himself wicked? Does he not trust the entire world? We must also add concerning the phrase, even if the whole world says, what is the connection between this and the testimony of the entire world, since one knows oneself better than the rest of the world? It should have sworn him, even if you know for yourself that you are a righteous. Yet the most perplexing is that the Gemara explicitly states that one must know in one's soul if he is righteous or not. Thus, there is an obligation and a possibility to truly be completely righteous. Moreover, one must delve and know this truth. If this is so, how is the soul sworn to always be wicked in its own eyes and to never know the actual truth, when our sages have obligated the contrary?
Meaning, this condition is not quite clear. Be wicked in your own eyes. What does it mean, in your own eyes? So in determining, is there some determination of the state not according to what I see? Because it says the judge has only his eyes to see. What does it mean, be wicked in your own eyes? So I can, if I can see myself as righteous, how come it's the opposite? And if I can see myself as truly wicked, regarding what we're speaking about here, not what we think about as wicked, as sometimes it appears to us over regarding some actions that we performed. Rather, here we apparently are speaking about true states. So, what kind of confusion are we in if we have to go in the opposite of what we discover? How is it even disclosed to a person, that state, that he is righteous or wicked? That it's not that he's thinking about it, he can research and see, rather as if it comes to him from the outside? Righteous or wicked are states that I myself weigh and decide. Emotional states appear within me, the light that operates within the will to receive. And then I, through the response of the will to receive to the light, I already weigh its response. Who is it? What is it? And then I say that I am righteous or I am wicked, I am okay or not okay with respect to something. But it's not that somebody tells me about it. So And then also, what does it mean the whole world is telling you that you're righteous, or the whole world tells you that you are wicked? Who says? When did we hear that? When did we hear anything? Rather, what on the media they're now announcing it about somebody. What is this term within a person that is called the whole world tells you?
The words are very precise indeed. As long as one has not been awarded the opening of eyes in the Torah in wondrous attainments, sufficient for him for clear attainment of reward and punishment, he will certainly not be able to deceive himself and consider himself righteous. This is because he will necessarily feel that he lacks the two most comprehensive mitzvot in the Torah, namely love and fear. Even attaining complete fear in a way that he who knows all mysteries will testify that he will not turn back to folly, due to his great fear of punishment and the great loss from transgressing, is completely unimaginable before he is awarded complete, clear, and absolute attainment in providence of reward and punishment. This refers to the attainment of the first degree of a revelation of the face, which comes to a person through the opening of eyes in the Torah. It is all the more so with love, which is completely beyond one's ability, since it depends on the understanding of the heart, and no labor or coercion will help here. We're going to read item 87 again. The words are very precise indeed. As long as one has not been awarded the opening of eyes in the Torah in wondrous attainment, sufficient for him for clear attainment of reward and punishment, he will certainly not be able to deceive himself and consider himself righteous. This is because he will necessarily feel that he lacks the two most comprehensive mitzvot in the Torah, namely love and fear. Even attaining complete fear in a way that he who knows all mysteries will testify that he will not turn back to folly, due to his great fear of punishment and the great loss from transgressing, is completely unimaginable before he is awarded complete, clear, and absolute attainment in providence of reward and punishment. This refers to the attainment of the first degree of revelation of the face, which comes to a person through the opening of eyes in the Torah. It is all the more so with love, which is completely beyond one's ability, since it depends on the understanding of the heart, and no labor or coercion will help here. Item 88. Hence, the oath states, even if the whole world says you are righteous, this is so because these two mitzvot, love and fear, are given only to the individual, and no one else in the world can distinguish them and know them. Thus, since they see that he is complete in 611 mitzvot, they immediately say that he probably has the two mitzvot of love and fear too. And since human nature compels one to believe the world, one might fall into a grave mistake. For that reason, the soul is sworn to that even before it comes into this world, and may it help us. Nonetheless, it is the individual himself who must certainly question and know in his heart if he is a complete righteous.
We're not speaking about the external world here. Rather, how shall I? This speaks about the magnitude of the detachment from the will to receive that a person can decide on. We have such examples from the Torah in Bilam and Balak, or Pharaoh who says that the Lord is righteous and I am wicked. All kinds of opposite states. It's where we have to reach a state where a person is already able to work above all of his kelim in a way that they remain, as we said before, we don't destroy the will to receive. Rather, the will to receive remains in its full force, and we are standing above it, and we are building above it the kli of, in order to bestow. This is called that the whole world tells you that you're righteous, and you have to see the opposite, and so on. That you can be completely detached from that great will to receive, and you can build your opposite relation, attitude. Of course, it doesn't speak about the world that is here before us. Who can take that into account? And, you know, who can tell a person who he is, what he is?
It's written on item 87, love depends on the understanding in the heart. What does it mean?
The understanding of the heart? The heart understands. Meaning that within the person's system, there are already these lines that of Chokhmah and Binah that are joined together, that he builds his kli. The kli of Chokhmah is the will to receive, and the kli of bestow is the intention. The kli of Binah is the intention to bestow, or reflected light, and the two of them already support one another. What happens in our nature is that, to start with, we are the opposite of the Creator. The quality of the Creator exists within us only as a point in the heart, which is the posterior of the Creator. As he says, it's the posterior of the Nefesh of Kedusha. And we build within ourselves the image of the Creator. Everything happens within the will to receive. Nothing happens outside of it. We cannot imagine to ourselves, what does it mean outside of it? Where do you imagine it? Where do you think it? Where do you feel it? Everything is within the will to receive. So, within the will to receive, when we build the image of the Creator, in the beginning, they are as if separate, distinguished. The point in the heart awakens a little bit. As he says, it starts showing its actions. That's how he writes in the introduction to the Book of Zohar, until the age of 13 years, and so on. That's how he explains those things. But it's inside the will to receive, until we reach a state where the will to receive itself supports that point. Not that it's detached from it and it grows by itself, which is the degree of Binah, the quality of Binah, the quality of bestowal. Rather, even the will to receive, the angel of death, as we say, turns into the holy angel. The will to receive supports that point, and it amplifies it, and it grows above it. As much as it pushes it down and doesn't want to use it, as a result it grows. But it's in the will to bestow. There's no force there. It's only the force of being detached from it. Later stages, there are stages where the will to receive even supports it, connects with it and supports it. This is called, and the darkness shall shine as daylight. The angel of death turns into the holy angel. Meaning in the end, we reach a state where the entire Kli of the Adam supports the point that existed in it as a result of the shattering. And this is how a person corrects himself through that drop of semen or that seed that he received within his soil, and he grew at to become the tree of life.
So according to this, what does it mean that love depends on the understanding of the heart?
That the heart is, well, the emotion, it understands that it is now connecting with the Chokhmah, and all these vessels will be filled up with the light of Chokhmah and the light of Binah. The light of Binah as what holds and what prepares, and the light of Chokhmah is what fills up the Kli. This is called the understanding of the heart. Yes?
Scott from England is asking, how can one know if he's righteous or wicked?
Only by comparing his internal states and the upper light that appears within them. How does a judge know who is righteous and who is wicked? He has both of them before him, two people, and they both speak. A third one has to be there, as written, when the third will come and decide between them. There's no decision between two without a third one. The third one is the yardstick. And the third one decides not with the first or the second, but according to how each one of them supports the others. You know, it's like Solomon's trial, something like that. How much each one is willing to concede himself for the other, by that he is righteous. By that he is just. Also the will to bestow. Is it willing to concede or not? That's how you test righteousness, according to the actions. This is why there is a trial, and it's not known who is right, who is the right one. It's not simple, because sanctity doesn't quite have a force of bestowal. It has to have the will to receive that would help her have a force of bestowal, because you can bestow only above the will to receive.
Menashe from Netanya is asking, today all the... How can we change things in our current state? All the excuses are in this.
We can only do one thing, which is to awaken the reforming light. There is no force in us for anything except that. This is why we have to know, how do we evoke that light? We evoke that light only on the condition that I want to reach the next adjacent stage, the next nearest state. How do I actualize that stage, that step? That I take a step and the light affects me, and I take another step and the light affects me. So I'm told that can only be done in a group. As much as I can bestow upon them, influence them, awaken them for correction, connection, for love, give them a high spirit, bring about connection through some corporeal action. By that I evoke light upon me. I don't have to ask for it. It would affect me without my request, without any words, rather through actions. This is how a person advances. It's all according to laws. As much as you invest, according to the sorrow, the reward.
What he's talking about here, it's like that world that's already after the atoms, right?
Yes, beyond the atoms, beyond the viruses, beyond the germs.
But this is like this anti-world, this world of love. That he writes it in different words, the opposite world.
No. There is the time of preparation, and in the time of preparation, for the meanwhile, we use corporeal psychology. Corporeal meaning that it takes place within the will to receive for its own benefit. And in it, we build a certain system that is as if spiritual. As if spiritual. And yet, we live in that system. Like in this world, there are actions of love and aid and being considerate and some sharing of our emotions. And this is 100% egoistical, even though we respect it, we appreciate it, and we cry and we share in the other's sorrow. As if, but had we weighed it truly in a true scale, we would see that there is nothing true here. The person is actually crying over himself, not the others. He's actually imagining himself in the other's place. Let's say, so, as we have such depictions of the will to bestow and love and consideration in this world, similarly, during the time of preparation, we have such forms, depictions of spirituality, as if it is spirituality, but certainly it has no bearing, no relation to spirituality, because it's all within the will to receive. But within the will to receive, we build some sort of a simulation of the force of bestowal. And the true will to bestow happens only if the light shines on us and really holds us in the air above the will to receive. And then we build off all of our relations within the light, through its force. And then we have, as written, a new land, a new heavens. Let's continue.
Item 89. We can also understand what we asked: how can even the first degree of love be attained when there is no reward for a mitzvah in this world? Now it is clear that one does not need to actually receive the reward for the mitzvah in his life, hence their precision. You will see your world in your life and your end to the life of the next world, indicating that the reward for a mitzvah is not in this world, but in the next world. Yet to know, to see, and to feel the future reward of the mitzvah in the next world, one must know it in complete certainty and clarity while in this life, through the wonderful attainment in the Torah. This is because then one still attains conditional love, which is the first degree of the exit from concealment of the face and the entrance to the revelation of the face. This which one must have in order to keep Torah and mitzvot correctly, in a way that he who knows all mysteries will testify that he will not turn back to folly. Item 90. And by laboring to observe Torah and mitzvot in the form of conditional love, which comes to him from knowing the future reward in the next world, as in all that is about to be collected is deemed collected, one attains the second degree of revelation of the face, his guidance over the world from his eternity and truthfulness, meaning that he...
But we have to understand also for now that the more we advance, I mean, what do we see here? The fact that now we don't see the reward is actually the best state, the easiest state, because now you can work as if now we only have to believe that we will have a reward, just to believe it. As if everybody is saying, the friends are saying that there is a great goal, it's worthwhile for us, the greatness of the Creator, greatness of the whatever, and I'm now running because it's as if he's great. I don't see that he's great, but they tell me that he's great. The environment, the friends, and then I receive strength from that, fuel. So what do I really need here? There's only one condition for me to work as I should for the right goal, just to annul myself before the friends. Meaning from all the conditions that we need, we only have to keep one condition right now, annulment towards the friends. And then the group gives me the importance, the greatness of the goal, the greatness of the Creator, it's worthwhile for me, a reward, and so on. And then I run. It's the easiest condition. The easiest. Because later, if they would truly show me the greatness of the Creator, how will I be able to work? Not because he's great. Because if it is because he's great, then I'm sold out. My will to receive would be sold to him. So who's not going to work for him? That's how we're built by nature. We simply surrender. Or they'll show me the reward besides the greatness of the Creator or without the greatness of the Creator. The main thing would be the reward. How will I work in order to bestow without receiving as if nothing if I know that in the end of the month I'm going to receive $1,000,000? And what for? So that every day I do something, you know, I don't know, I open the door for somebody once a day. How will I erase that piece of knowledge from my head? Later, there is work above the will to receive that is very hard. Therefore, what am I trying to say? With respect to the whole path, in every stage, as we advance more and more, we discover more and more how much we're in something that is great, huge, enormous, profitable, like nothing else. And we have to overcome that as though there is nothing. Meaning we have to detach the will to receive, to cover it, and so on. And it's very hard. Our present condition, the first one, and of course we want to advance if you don't keep that, the next degree sits on top of the previous degrees. So this is the smallest condition. Therefore, we have to simply be done with it. I have to annul myself in order to now start receiving from the environment the greatness of the goal, the greatness of the Creator, the greatness of the society, so that it would give me fuel, energy to run for my ego, for my will to receive, only with the slightest annulment. I want you to see that direction, the course that he's telling us here about, that later, can you say annulments? I need greater and greater annulments later on, and such that I don't just nullify myself, I make myself a little bit more of a bestower, but rather, when you start working with the will to receive itself, it's unbelievable, because nonetheless, we have to agree and not agree until we invite the light. Even now, when I have to annul myself, it doesn't work out for me. I mean, I have to connect with the light that reforms. It's not that I surrender. Initially, it's as if that way, but later I see that I'm unable. It becomes harder. There is resistance. So I search for how can I nonetheless annul myself. And then I reach the necessity for the light that would help me. And then when I see it in study, I know already what I'm looking for at the time of the study. We have to write down for ourselves a few sentences with which we work. And that this would be general for everyone, and we would really invest in that and make sure that everybody keeps that with arvut.
I want to ask a question about 85. Yeah. You know, it says here specifically, and then he can keep any condition in wholeness and become a complete righteous, meaning the whole condition for these is in the desire to receive?
There's nothing else besides the will to receive. Is that what you're concerned about? Is the 611 mitzvot?
Annulment is annulment towards the essence of the society?
Always. In practice, it's always with respect to the group, the society. Later, the group turns to the Creator.
Yes, but the environment is not something that I see. It's something, it's like an essence of...
The environment means the force that affects you in order to reach the goal. That's called environment.
Meaning the essence of the society, which is altruism, which is connection, which is something that is above.
Yes,
what I am. We'll move to the next part of the lesson.